Guitarist Mike Aia opening up a live Music Friday here on WKAR's Current State. We welcome Evangeline and Mike as accompanist here for some love songs here as we head into Valentine's weekend. So we'll hear vocalizing from Evangeline and more great guitar from Mike Aia before the hour is through. We hope you can stick around. I'm Mark Bayshore. It's Friday. This is Current State on WKAR. At the top of our program today, the city of Flint has created an ambitious plan to replace lead service lines in its water infrastructure. Operation Fast Start aims to replace 15,000 such lines in a year. Its chances of success may be improving thanks to an assist from the Lansing Board of Water and Light. The BWL is offering instruction in a method the utility says it pioneered here in Lansing that cuts the time to replace a lead service line about in half. Now, to learn more about it, I spoke with Dick Peffley, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, and WMU Cooley Law Professor General Michael McDaniel, who's coordinating the lead pipe replacement initiative in Flint. General McDaniel's military background includes work in state homeland security and critical infrastructure. I first asked General McDaniel about the first phase of Operation Fast Start, which is identifying the Flint households most at risk, and I asked how much is already known about that.
We certainly have a lot of data on that from either high water level testing results that we've gotten or from high blood lead levels that we've got through Hurley Hospital and McLaren Hospital. But we have to assure that when we're talking about the most at-risk households, that we are looking broader than that. We don't want to take time to verify water samples. There's too great a sense of urgency for that. So when we say high risk, when I say we, meaning the city says high risk, the city is looking at any household where we've got children under six, where we've got the elderly, where we have those with compromised immune systems, and we want to do those households right away in terms of replacing their lead service lines.
And any idea how long it might take to finish identifying those at-risk households?
No, because we don't know how many of those households we actually have. We want to do a fast start, as we call it, with anywhere from 30 to 100 households immediately, and then we want to segue right into that. That should give us the time to build up other capability from other utilities, from contractors, as money becomes available, using the techniques that Dick Peffley from Board of Water and Light will tell you about that they've used successfully. We want to train all the crews to do that, and while we're doing that first phase, be training for the second phase of this so we can do it seamlessly.
And Mr. Peffley, let's look a little bit closer at that. The BWL's insights into replacing these lead service lines are being offered to Flint here. Talk to us about the role that the utility's playing.
Sure. We started replacing lead service lines in 2004, and there was a learning curve, and we've got 12 years of experience at it. So we want to share that with Flint and help bring them up to speed so they don't have the same length of time for learning curve that we had experienced.
And I'm led to believe that you have refined a method for replacing lead service lines. Talk to us about what you've learned and what you've created here.
Sure. When we first started this, we used to take a backhoe and dig where the water main is out in the center of your street, and then just dig the service up all the way to your house and replace the lead service with a copper service. And then you left a trench there that you filled in, and you had to go through the sidewalk and, you know, the landscaping, and it was a lot of restoration. It took about 9 hours to do that. Now we go in and actually dig a hole in the street, and we go into the customer's house and take the meter out, and we send a galvanized cable down through there, and we hook it to a cutter head that we designed and refined over the years, and that cutter head is hooked to a spool of copper tubing, and then a backhoe out in the street pulls that galvanized wire back out, and as it pulls it, it's pulling the copper tubing in and pulling the lead service back out, and then we just coil the lead service up and recycle it and hook the copper line back up to the main and to the house. But essentially, it took a 9-hour job down to about 4 on a good day.
It almost sounds proprietary. Did you? This sounds like a major breakthrough that we had. Is it fair to describe it that way?
Well, you know, other cities could have been doing it, and we weren't aware of it. So we started out on our own doing this, and we refined the technique. Like I said, that it took an expense from about $8,000 to $9,000 down to $3,600 per house.
I'm talking with Dick Pefley, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, about the assistance the BWL is offering in a Flint initiative to replace the city's lead service lines. General Michael McDaniel also joins us. He heads the new Flint Action Sustainability Team, FAST, which will coordinate fast start activities, including those involving the BWL. General McDaniel, is there a particular significance to this 15,000 line replacement goal? Would the number of lines you'd likely have to replace be about 15,000? Where does that number come from?
That was sort of a high assumption that engineers at Board of Water and Light made, actually, when we were looking for some initial data to get us started. So we were assuming similar size cities, similar age to houses and to the water systems themselves. And so we figured we'd estimate slightly high at about 15,000 lines. So that we had, again, we're making some planning assumptions. And in this case, because we're making more assumptions in our planning than we normally would like to do, but we have to do that because we're balancing some precision and some urgency here. So in this case, we're estimating high, knowing that the number could be lower. Based upon that number, based upon using 30 crews, based upon having the appropriations necessary, all those planning assumptions, we believe we can replace all the residential service lines in the city of Flint within 12 months.
Now, I see phase two involves ramping up to a full-scale pipe replacement effort, but that timeline has yet to take shape. Is that what
right.
I'm hearing
there,
you
there
say?
There is still, but we have promised, the mayor has of Flint, Karen Weaver, has already promised her residents that we will start doing this within a month. So we have some data that we still want to collect. There are some data that has already been collected from disparate sources that we have to assure that everyone has that same data. We are working with the Department of Environmental Quality to assure that we are not at cross purposes, that we are working the same plan and the same goal, if not the same team.
Dick Pefley, are you offering crews or workers? Who exactly from the BWL is involved?
We sent a group of management folks down to Flint and met with their people on Monday to see what they actually needed and what they have. And what we came back with that is that we believe that when they're ready to get started here, that we can send a crew down there and show them how to do a actual lead service replacement and slowly turn it over to them. So it would be more a technical role. Initially, we would volunteer a crew to go down there and do a few services for them. And if need, as they ramp up, if they bring new crews on that need some expertise, we would volunteer to go down and help there. Also, they have reached out to us about coming and watching a service be changed out at the BWL right here in Lansing. So we're trying to set that up right now.
Michael McDaniel, there's been a mobilization of volunteers for Flint. Will the crews be doing this work, be volunteer crews, or will these be city or county workers? Is that known?
We're looking at all different sources on this, Mark. There has been a great outpouring of volunteers from a number of different sources, as you mentioned, including plumbers, other union workers assisting with water filter emplacement. And we're hoping that, like Board of Water and Light, that other utilities in the state of Michigan will assist. We realize that we are still awaiting some appropriation from both the state and from the federal government, but we want to do what we can as soon as we can without awaiting those appropriations. It will be necessary to have them at some sort at some soon point in time, but we want to start even before that, recognizing the urgency of this situation.
And what about gear? Do you have the machinery and the equipment to handle this, or are you still in the process of determining where this gear is going to come from?
In terms of copper piping and all that, we're still in the process.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The one-year 15,000 pipe replacement plan assumes optimal conditions. What does optimal mean in this context?
That we can find and we can train at least 32 crews to work on this almost continuously during that one-year period, that we have the appropriations to do so, that the conditions in Flint are similar to the conditions in Lansing in terms of groundwater, the age of the pipe, the types of the pipes that are already there. There's a lot of planning assumptions we're making to do that. It's an ambitious goal. It's an audacious goal. But this is one of those circumstances, I think, Mark, where we've got to put make that target and try and reach that target, given the circumstances.
And optimal conditions includes winter work?
Yes. You have some holidays you take out of there. And when we looked at this estimate to do it 1 year, we took 10% off for inclement weather. And you do get a little slower in the winter. On a good day, a four-person crew with a supervisor can do two services. And so that's what we based the estimate on, doing 60 services a day to do 15,000 over the year.
Current State attended a training session earlier this week for pipe workers. This was in Perry at the Michigan Laborers Training and Apprenticeship Institute. Jeff Stice is an instructor there, and he's worked on water pipes in Genesee County in Flint. He voiced a specific concern over pipe replacement. Let me play that back, and I'd like to hear what you think.
One big problem that I'm going to see in Flint, from my experience, they never dug two trenches in. Now we separate them or shelf them. They're common trench, most of them. So in the fact that they're going to dig them out, you're going to be in the sewer, too, on a lot of these. So it's a problem.
So Mr. Stice says sewer pipes are near the water lines. They're separated these days, but not when these lines went in, apparently. Are you far enough into this process to comment on that?
That would slow the process down a little bit when you're doing the digging for the curb stop box that you need to put in the main. But what we do is if our technology will work in Flint, we pull the line through underground without disturbing anything. We pull it out from the hole that's dug in the street, from the basement, and so we wouldn't disturb the sewer line, and then you just terminate both of the lines back to the meter and to the main.
You've alluded to the $55 million price tag. General McDaniel, in his new budget proposal, the governor's earmarked $25 million for pipe removal. Talk to us more about any concerns you might have involving funding.
Well, I was very gratified to see that in the budget announcement from the governor yesterday, and I'm sure the mayor was as well. We obviously expect some effort from Congress, and we know there's been a number of different bills that have been introduced in Congress to address this as well. So I think between the two, we will have the money necessary to replace these lines. Certainly, this is a common problem, but this is an opportunity to say, here we are, folks, here we have Flint, a post-industrial, older Midwest city. Here are the very real health problems and economic problems that result from not taking care of our critical infrastructure. This is an opportunity to use this as an example to show that if we revitalize the city of Flint, we can have similar successes in other post-industrial cities in the Midwest and in the Northeast in particular, I think.
You also alluded to the coordination with city and state and federal officials. Which agencies do you expect to be most involved with?
Initially, I will be working with the Department of Environmental Quality at the state of Michigan, working with the EPA at the federal level, just the ones you would expect. But, you know, we want to have a broader issue of looking at all the critical infrastructure in that city. And so I think that'll involve using other state agencies, as well as involving the Department of Homeland Security as well, and sort of doing a survey of all the critical infrastructure we have and the impacts, sort of the cascading effects, as we say. If you lose one sector of infrastructure, what happens to the rest of those? So that we can clearly start building Flint towards an economic future that's successful.
General Michael McDaniel heads the new Flint Action Sustainability Team, FAST, and he will coordinate fast start activities, including those involving the BWL. Dick Peffley, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, also joins us to talk about assistance the BWL is offering in a Flint initiative to replace the city's lead service lines. Let's return our focus just to the Lansing area here for a minute. You've been replacing lead service lines in Lansing for years here now. How concerned or unconcerned should BWL customers be about lead in their water?
Well, we've replaced about 13,500 services. We have just over 620 left. We do one to two a day. We hope to be out of the lead service replacement business in about a year and a half. But we have a corrosion control treatment process in place so that the existing customers that have lead services don't have to worry about the quality of their water. We continue to pass all the required DEQ requirements for Clean Water Drinking Act. Also, if you are a BWL customer that has an existing lead service and it's a comfort level for you, we will give you a filter and give you cartridges to replace that. Furthermore, when we are done with the lead service replacement program, we will continue to use the corrosion control that we currently use, because some of the houses will still have lead solder joints with their copper pipe, and their faucets could have a little bit of lead in them, so that they can rest assured that we will still continue to treat the pipes from the plant all the way to their faucet.
And Michael McDaniel, talk to us about your next few steps. What does the next week or two look like here?
Well, it's going to be very busy because, you know, we made a goal. The mayor stated we were going to start pulling those lead service lines in the city of Flint almost immediately. She said within a week or two. So we need to have an aggregation, an accumulation of all the data that we have at either DEQ, EPA, other agencies, so that we can target exactly which households we should be looking at first, and then comparing that with what we know about the water system itself. The other piece, remember, is that we have to take new crews and sort of train them in the BWL method for doing this. You don't have to dig a trench, as the gentleman from Perry said, anymore, using the BWL method, and you are not going to have as much vibration or stress on the main line that it's attached to as a result. So if we do this method, it is not only more efficient, but it is likely to be safer as well. But we have to train up all these crews in how to do that, and we want to have as much data as we can in a short period of time about the existing status of the water system so that we're aware of any other problems and if there's any possibility of any lead in the distribution system by the city itself. We need to know that so that can be replaced. And it's not like we can do a neighborhood and work our way through that neighborhood. You know, in some ways, Flint's more like Detroit, where you might have a single residence left in a block. So there's a loss of some efficiency just the way that the city is laid out now. And so that's going to be a concern.
We want to thank Dick Peffley, General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light. We've been talking about assistance the BWL is offering in Flint to replace the city's lead service lines. Also, General Michael McDaniel heads the new Flint Action and Sustainability Team, FAST, which will coordinate fast start activities, including those involving the BWL. Thanks to both of you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.